Hello and welcome to the Iota Unum podcasts from the Latin Mass Society. In the company of some great friends of tradition from around the world, we will be drilling into some of the fundamental issues affecting us today in the church and the world.
I authored two chapters in this book and co-authored with Jamie one chapter. And one chapter I did write reflected on Walter Bagehot's distinction between the efficient form of government or aspect of government and the dignified aspect of government. And as I've, since I've written that, I've continued to reflect upon it, particularly because in the last few years, my doctoral monograph was published, most of which is about the thought of Edmund Burke and Joseph de Maistre and how they responded to the French Revolution in different, but what I think, complementary ways. And since then I've been debating various people. I've tried to understand the emerging Catholic anti-liberal intellectual movement that sometimes goes under the name integralism. And I've also tried to understand those who are really arguing for liberalism today. And what I think we are very much stuck in is a paradigm of political thought which does not take seriously at all the role of affectivity in good statesmanship. And I think this is a huge problem. Particularly because when you read my masters, Burke and Maistre, the role of the heart in what it is to form a cohesive political community is absolutely primary. And so you have the contractarian liberal tradition, which is unfortunately rearing its head again. Within that you have various moral accounts, and as Joe and I have discussed before, the liberal tradition and the calculation-based consequentialist tradition appear to be at odds with one another, but very often form a single account of how to arrange a community. And then you have a response to that in right-wing, conservative, traditionalist, integralist circles that says, you know, actually, political life isn't all about emancipation. Emancipation from your society, emancipation from various authorities. And so they then double down on questions of law and the place of coercion and the establishment of order and these sorts of things. And so we're now stuck in this paradigm where you have these competing accounts of what a cohesive political community might look like, and no one's talking about actually principles like national loyalty and patriotism and love for the institutions, right? So I'll tell you why this is such a problem, because it's the high road to getting stuck in the oscillating position of totalitarian authoritarian governments. Totalitarianism and authoritarianism are not the same thing, but they're coalescing all around the world. And they're coalescing particularly in those regimes that call themselves liberal and progressive. And they're encroaching on every aspect of our lives and making things very difficult and unpleasant. That's not to say that in principle I'm libertarian in my position, but I am in practice increasingly libertarian as governments become more and more totalitarian and authoritarian. In any case, if you don't believe that the members of the political community can be moved from within by affection for that community, affection for the nation, affection for the institutions, then you have to necessarily conclude that they can only be moved from without. And that's why you get stuck in this paradigm. So the dignified aspect of government, as Bagehot puts it, is not window dressing. This is absolutely serious This touches the essence of what it is to be a free and flourishing people. So that's the first thing I want to say. The second thing I will say, which I don't talk about at all in the book because I wanted people to read it, and I'll share with you now. Just at the risk of giving you the heebie-jeebies a bit, but I think nonetheless, at least it will be food for conversation. The second thing I want to talk about is, well, I'll introduce a concept which some of you might know, some of you perhaps will not. And the concept is that of the egregore. The egregore is a hermetic term, or Western esoteric term. I might say an occult term, in the sense of being having a hidden sense. And it's a complex notion, but put very simply, it's something like this. Hermeticists have claimed for a very long time, and Renaissance humanists like Pico della Mirandola and Marsilio Ficino applied this concept to great effect, have claimed that it is possible for human beings to, in a shared way, be so committed to a falsehood that the falsehood takes on a life of its own. And that it's no longer the community that steer the falsehood by way of their deliberations, but they are led by the falsehood. And certainly you see this in Joseph de Maistre's repeated maxim that it was not people who led the revolution led the people. I believe in egregores. I think that I was actually discussing this concept with a priest friend of mine recently, and he said, well, what the hermetic tradition calls an egregore, I think the mainstream Christian tradition would call Antichrist, according to the first letter of St. John, which says there aren't just Antichrists, we are afflicted by Antichrists, right? And in many ways, I think the 20th century was the century of egregores. I think the spawn of the great egregore of 1789, these spawn, liberalism, progressivism, socialism, Marxism, fascism, they all competed for who could rule the world, and they fought each other. I give a lot of advice in Europe. I go to the European Parliament, I go to Brussels a lot, and I meet people under egregores all the time, right? So I definitely believe in them. Now, what is the absolute antithesis, the perfect antithesis of a falsehood that has become a spirit? It is a truth that has become incarnate. That is the absolute antithesis. And if you like, the mystery of the incarnation was the great pivotal repudiation of the government of egregore in history. And what kingship and what royal what the royal principle does is it says, you don't have to pledge allegiance to a symbol, a flag, a bullet-pointed constitution, or an ideological schema. You can pledge allegiance to a family and a person who will sit on the throne and take the crown and be anointed, and he will pledge allegiance to you. And by doing that, it takes the whole mystery of the corporate person of the nation, which is a real person. I mean, Christ says this in Matthew 28, make disciples of the nations. The nations are real corporate persons that can be discipled. And that mystery is distilled into a single person who takes that if you like, the truth is embodied in a single person. And in that sense, I think that what the at the deepest level, what monarchy does, what the monarchical principle does, is it perpetuates the mystery of the incarnation in the temporal arena. And for that reason, and by so doing, it is always a safeguard against the government of Egregore. So I wanted to say that at the risk of giving you the creeps. And you might not like the terminology, but I hope the underlying argument, the subterranean point, is one you can understand and have sympathy with. I hope you enjoy the book.
This podcast was brought to you by the Latin Mass Society. We hope you enjoyed it and would appreciate your rating the podcast on the platform you are using. If you would like to find out more, do visit our website and consider joining us or giving us a donation.